name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The glory be to our Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and to the age of all ages, Amen. I'm sure that some of you here will agree with me that there are things in life that are very hard to make sense of. What comes to your mind when I say that? Things in life that are sometimes very hard to make sense of. Yes? Little kids being abused. Yes, that doesn't sound right, doesn't make sense. Very vulnerable people, and yet they are taken advantage of and they are abused. What else?
Wars.
Wars. I mean, why? What makes that hard to make sense of? There is really no main reason, no essential reason to go for war. Good.
Marriage.
I'll let Abuna answer that.
Don't make sense.
What else?
I don't know what to say.
Marriage doesn't make sense.
Illness.
Yeah. Suffering in general. You know, why does suffering exist? And I'm not talking about the suffering that we hear about in faraway countries. I'm talking about your suffering. Your personal suffering. Now, whether you like it or not, we're all going to suffer. This is the good news. The good news, this is the bad news, obviously. But the good news is, there is a meaning behind the suffering. Another thing that doesn't really make clear sense is, why does a good person dies while a bad person stays? You say, well, this evil person is still alive and this wonderful righteous man just died. Doesn't make sense. Especially if they were both in the same car when the accident happened. So you wonder, what is this? How about people who don't believe in God? Sometimes as Christians we think, you know, how come an atheist is doing so well and me as a believer, I'm doing so poorly in this world? Sometimes things don't make sense. So many whys. Why am I suffering? Why does God allow this to happen to me and my own family and my kids? Why? I mean, you hear that from parents when their children, start going astray. They say, why, Father? We brought them in the church. We brought them close to God. And look what's happening. Why? I want to focus on a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. St. Paul said, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. Not everything will make sense up here. I want to put something in front of us tonight, that there is something called understanding by faith. By faith we understand, said St. Paul, that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What St. Paul is saying, that there are things that we will never understand with our own minds. And you know what, guys? If we don't settle down with this, if this doesn't click in our minds tonight, we will suffer tremendously in this world. Because you've got to come to a point to say, oh, I cannot put this in my mind. And I'm not talking about God. I'm just talking about many things in this world that can only be understood by faith. But some people think that faith is against rationale. That's why a lot of people, you know, they shy away from faith and religion and Christianity. They say, oh, you people, you just say everything you're stuck with and can't give an answer to, you say, by faith. By faith. Unless you can put it into my mind, I'm not accepting it. Well, there's so many things in this world that people accept every single day that cannot be rationalized. Like what? What's that?
War.
War? Yeah. Okay. So similar to the earlier example. How many of you use cell phones? None? I use two. Yes. Cell phones. I'll tell you, only about less than 1% of people understand how a cell phone works. Yet all of us use a cell phone. And all of us are paying those bills every month because we're overusing our cell phones. And yet we still use it. We don't understand it, but we still use it. First, St. Augustine said, first believe, then rationalize. And he also said, faith is to believe what you do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what you believe. So faith, first believe, then make sense of your faith. And the Lord Jesus Himself one time, He said, I thank you, Father. Why are you thanking your Father, Jesus? He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Why are you glad, Jesus? I am glad because God has revealed some of the hardest thing in this world to those who are simple. You know what I was telling some of the youth? I said, we have been formed in this world, in this country. I've studied here, you've studied here. We have been formed to question before we receive. So as soon as someone starts talking, we have been taught in our schools here to analyze. To find out, where is this person going wrong? Have you heard of critical analysis? What type of essays you tend to write at schools? They're called what? Critical type of essays, like critical thinking. Critically analyzing everything. By faith we understand. Why are you glad, Jesus says? Because the simple understand by faith. For example, many things we do that are beyond our comprehension. The liturgy. How can I, with my weak hands, hold the body and the blood of Christ? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense whatsoever. How can you come and line up here and take the body and the blood of Christ, the creator of the whole universe? How can we do this? It is beyond. So faith is not against rationale, but is beyond rationale. And that's why the priest at the end of the Mass prays a beautiful prayer. He said, when the priest puts the platter on top of his head, and then he says, our mouth has been filled with joy and our tongue with rejoicing. For what you have hidden from the wise and the prudent, that you have revealed to babes. Yes, this mystery of the Eucharist that many people cannot comprehend and understand. It's a mystery. Yet every week we come and approach it and take this body and the blood and say, Lord, you have dwelt within us. Abide in us that we may abide in you. I want to put this in front of you. With faith, we understand. The regular person overuses rationale. Everything has to be rationalized. We have to settle with the fact that if you can understand everything about God, He is not worthy to be worshipped. He is not worthy to be worshipped. If I can figure Him out completely, He has revealed Himself to us. But if I have to figure Him out completely, He's not worthy to be worshipped. A philosopher once walked on a seashore, and he had all these doubting thoughts. You know, how God exists? Where is God? How can God be everywhere? How can God become man? How can God can die on the cross? All these questions in his mind. And he met a very simple person by the seashore. And he said to him, old man, he was such an old man, he thought he'd be wise. He said to him, can you explain to me all these things that my mind is being boggled with? How can God do this? How can God? Where is God? Where was God before He created the universe? This old man listened to him, and then he, without doing anything, he started going to the sea. He dug a hole in the sea, in the seashore. He went to the sea, took some water from the sea, and went back and put it in the hole. And he kept doing that back and forth. And this philosopher said to him, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to put the water of this whole sea inside this little hole. The philosopher laughed at him and he said, you must be crazy. He said to him, well, this is exactly what you're trying to do. You call me crazy because I'm trying to put some sea water into this small hole, and you're trying to put all of God and figure Him out into your small brain. Another philosopher, very proud of himself, went sailing with a sailor. And he was very haughty. So he said, he looked at the sailor and he said to him, "Do you know biology?" He said to him, "No, I don't." He said to him, "You miss half your life." And then he said to him, "Do you know philosophy?" He said, "No, I'm a simple man." He said to him, "You miss half your life." "Do you know physics?" He said to him, "No." He said, "You miss half your life." And then a storm began. So the sailor said to the philosopher, "Do you know how to swim?" He said, "No." He said to him, "You miss all your life." You know, sometimes we are very cocky with God, you know. It's like, if I were God, I would do things differently. You all know, what's it called, the movie? Almighty. Bruce Almighty. "If I was God..." Well, yeah, go ahead. Show me what you could do. Sometimes we have to approach God with very simple faith. Not ignorance, but faith. We have to understand things through God. How many of you have been to Disneyland? Walt Disney? Wonderland? Okay, good. There's some of those shows where before you enter to watch the show, they give you something to watch the show with, called 3D glasses. Now, you could sit in the theater and not put on your glasses, and everyone is reacting to these things, and you're sitting and you're wondering, that doesn't make sense. Why is the person beside me afraid? Why is this person screaming? Well, because they have these 3D glasses on. They're making sense of the movie through these glasses. Our faith is the same. You put on faith and you see the world through the eye of faith, things will become clearer. An atheist teacher took her children once on a field trip, and she wanted to, you know, teach them something. So she said to them, "Look, do you see the trees?" And all the little kids in grade 3, they said, "Yes, we see the trees." She said, "Therefore, the trees exist." So they said after her, "Therefore, the trees exist." She said, "Do you see the grass?" Said, "Yes, grass." "Therefore, the grass exists." "Do you see the sky?" "Yes, therefore, the sky exists." She said to them, "Do you see God?" The kids said, "No." She said, "Therefore, God does not exist." And one of the kids stood up and said, "Class, do you see the teacher's mind?" And they said, "No." She said, "Therefore, the teacher's mind does not exist." You know? We're so attached to our senses, so attached to what we see and what we touch, the tangible. But I tell you, there's so many things in this world that can only be understood by trusting God. By faith, we understand. So what does faith do to us? It does three things that I want to leave with you tonight. It does something that forms the acronym OIL. O-I-L. Faith opens our eyes so we see the invisible. Faith illuminates our mind so we understand God's objectives. And faith does lift our goals, or lift our minds and our goals, so that we can focus on what's important. So it opens, it illuminates, it lifts. It opens our eyes to see the invisible. You probably know the story of Elisha in the Bible. Many people, a whole army came to fight against this one man. And he was very calm. He stood probably on the top of a palace or on top of a high area or high spot in the city. And he was very calm. And his servant, Gehazi, looked and he said, "Aren't you afraid? I'm like really getting scared. Look at the army that is against you." And this man was very, very calm. Why? Well, he prayed and said, "Lord, open the eyes of the servant." And when he opened his eyes, Gehazi was able to see that those fiery angels and army that were fighting on behalf of Elisha were much more numerous than the army that was coming against him. You know, sometimes in the midst of spiritual warfare, all we see is the trouble. All we see is the devil. All we see is the problem. We become what counselors and psychologists say, problem-focused. All we see is the problem. Faith opens our eyes to see the solution. Faith opens our eyes to see what is not visible to our eyes. When you are in trouble, when you're in hardship, when you're being tempted, let me ask you this. If all of a sudden you see Jesus right beside you, would you fall into temptation? Be very hard. Be very, very hard. The fact that with faith I know that Jesus is with me, that the angels are with me, I'm able to see the invisible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, St. Paul said, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary." You know, the things that are seen are going to go very soon. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The heroes of faith are not just St. Athanasius who defended the faith. The heroes of faith are us, living the faith and seeing through the eyes of faith the invisible, God who cannot be seen, God whom no man has seen. We see Him through the eyes of faith. He opens our eyes to see the invisible. He opens our eyes so that we may accept suffering and understand suffering. He illuminates our minds. Let me tell you a story from the Bible. Jesus and the storm. His disciples were sailing, and Jesus was found at the end of the boat. He was sleeping. And all of a sudden the storm started. What happened? What did the disciples do? What did they do? Did they do that right away? First, they tried to do things on their own. They tried to save the boat. And then, when they failed, they went to Jesus and woke Him up. And what did they tell the Lord? "Don't you care?" They blamed Him. "Don't you care? Wake up! Why are you sleeping in the boat when we're suffering here? We're almost drowning. Why are you sleeping?" Tell me, the Lord stood up and He calmed the storm, and then He turned to them and said what? "O you of little faith." Can someone explain to me why they were of little faith? There are two parts that show that. Will you get scared in the storm or not? Yes. So why did He say to them, "O you of little faith"? They needed faith to understand, but they didn't understand. What do you think? If you have Jesus, if you have the Lord God, the Creator of the universe, in your boats, will you try to do things on your own to start with? No. So the fact that they started to work on their own first, what does that say about the faith of the disciples at this point about the Lord? If they believed 100% He was God, would they have tried on their own then wake Him up? They would have ran to Him and say, "God, wake up, please, snap your fingers. And let the storm stop." They worked on their own. And then they got to a point where they were afraid. How can you be afraid, St. Peter? How can you be afraid? How can you be afraid, St. Matthew, when God, the Creator of the sea, the Creator of the land, is in the boat? Faith would have opened their eyes to see the invisible power of God. They said to Him, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" Perishing what? I am the life giver. You believe in that? If you believe in that, if you had faith that could see the invisible, if there is a storm in your life, or if there is a storm knocking at the door of your life, as soon as the shadow of suffering makes its journey towards your life, make sure you don't try on your own. Because you'll come to a point of frustration, and then you'll blame God. "Why did you do this to me?" First, run to Him. Run to Him, in simple words, means to pray. Means to come to the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, I'm about to enter a storm. I'm about to enter some suffering. Sufferings, please calm the storm in my life. Or give me faith to see you awake in my life, even while the storm is on. Faith makes us understand. St. James said, when in suffering, pray. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. It's a beautiful verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, someone tell me, what's so interesting about this verse? What is the key word, the interesting key word in this verse? I'll read it again to you. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Love God? All things. That's the key word. Of course, for those who love God and to the good. But you know, if the Lord would have said, like if St. Paul would have said, some things will work to the good, we'd say, oh yeah, that makes sense. Because some things eventually end up being good, but there are a lot of things in my life that don't end up being good. But the promise in the Bible is that all things. This is a treasure. For a Christian, this is a treasure. For a believer, this is a treasure. All things. No exceptions. All things. All things work for good for those who love God. How could this be? How could I understand this verse in hardships? How can I understand this verse in catastrophes? How can I understand this verse when I lost someone I love? How? How can I understand this verse when I just failed my last chance in the pharmacy exam? For those of you pharmacists. Huh? How? How can I understand that my current agony is for good? Doesn't make sense. It's a promise. You can only accept it through faith. When Jesus came to St. Peter to wash his feet, what did St. Peter say? What did he say? No, don't touch my feet. Jesus said to him, if I don't wash your feet, you have what? No parts with me. He said to him, no, just wash my head, my feet, my face, wash everything. He said to him, no. And then he said to him a beautiful, beautiful verse. He said to him, Peter, you do not know now what I am doing, but you will understand later. You know, our problem is we're very impatient with God. If He does not explain the suffering for us now, we're not happy with Him. Now. You know, we talk about efficiency. We want things now, but we are called to be the people of later on. Here suffering on earth, but glory later on. This is another thing that I hope you and I can settle with. We understand by faith, and we also need not to understand now. Look at this. The next part is just stories. Abraham and Sarah. Those are two people who followed God by the book. As if they had a textbook called How to Follow God, and they did it. Abraham, the Lord said to him, in you and your seed, all the tribes of the earth shall be blessed. The Lord said this to Abraham when he was 80 years old. Abraham said, okay. Sure. Sarah said, no problem. 20 years later, so God forgets him for about 20 years. And then he comes to him when he's 100 years old. You know the story of the visitation of God to Abraham. And he sits with him and he said to him, Abraham, in your seed. Abraham says what? Sure, Lord. But Sarah says what? Ha ha. She laughs. And God says to Sarah, come here. What's wrong? You think that I'm giving you a promise so you can understand it with your mind? I'm giving you a promise that you need to understand with the eyes of faith. And that's why when you give birth to your son, you'll call him Laughter. So you remember that by faith you understand. And she gave birth to Isaac. Isaac means laughter. If God would have given Abraham Isaac when he was 35 years old, would Isaac have been as precious to Abraham as he was? Would it have been a miracle? Would it have been a blessing? Would they have taken the blessing of believing a hard thing? They would not have. More importantly, you know, the birth of Isaac means something for you and I as Christians. Isaac was born out of death. Do you understand this? Okay. St. Paul explains it to us. He said the deadness of Sarah's womb in Romans 4:19. Sarah's womb was what? Was dead. It could not happen that life comes out of a dead womb. And Abraham, 100 plus, he has no life to give. Believe it or not, men also do reach menopause. You know, medically speaking, yes. These two were dead. They could not produce life. What is God saying? He's saying to us, if you are the son and daughters of the promise, you have to be born out of death. Where do we die, guys? Where do we die? In the water of baptism. We come from the water of baptism. We come a new creation being born. So the birth of Isaac, Abraham, Sarah was not just their life. It was very meaningful and is very meaningful to the New Testament. With faith we understand. The story repeated itself with Zechariah and Elizabeth. But Zechariah said, how could this be? Said to him, you will not speak. Zechariah, you are a priest. You're supposed to have faith. Right? You and I are supposed to have faith. When our friends say to us, life does not make sense, we shouldn't agree. When our friends say, you know, God is very unfair to us in this, we should help people see things with faith. Another story, the sinking boat. The only time in the whole gospel where Jesus insists that his disciples go on the boat alone was this time. The Bible says he made them, he forced them to go on the boat alone. They go on the boat, he stays on shore, and what happens? A storm. One of the disciples probably thought, that's why he insisted this time. That's why he said, he pushed us to go on our own. He knew it. And another one might have said, we are his own, his disciples. Why does he allow the storm to happen to us? Why didn't he come with us on the boat? And while all these thoughts are coming to their mind, Jesus comes and he walks on water. But he doesn't come to them. He walks on water and the Bible says he was passing them by. And then they cry to him and say, Lord, what does the Lord do? You know the story. What does he do? I'm going to give you one of two options. Does he calm the storm or does he say to them, do not fear? Which one happened first? Do not fear. He does not calm the storm, but he says to them what? Don't fear. Don't fear. What do you mean don't fear? Look at the storm. Stop the storm, then tell us not to fear. He said, no, I want you to see through the eyes of faith. If the Lord would have stopped the storm, who would have lost a big, huge loss? St. Peter. Because he would not have walked on water. So sometimes we don't understand. But if we wait, we understand. 38 years paralyzed. This man was paralyzed for 38 years. And then Jesus came to him. And then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do? And this man said to him, you know, while I try to jump into the water, other people jump before me. I have no one. This man is a tragedy. Because he's not sad because of his illness. You know, this is an example of someone who's been sick for so long. Sickness is not the reason of his sadness. He's sad because he has no one. He's lonely. He said to Jesus, I have no one. Tragedy. And then Jesus said to him, arise. Now let's fast forward. If we were to go to heaven now and meet this man who was paralyzed for 38 years and say to him, Sir, if we are to give you a chance to go back in life, would you want to go back as the man who had 38 years of paralysis, yes or no? What do you think he will say? Of course. Why? Because I will meet Jesus. But if you go and ask him after 2-3 years of paralysis, what would he tell you? I'm sick of my life. I'm sick of this. I don't know if God exists. I don't know why he allows this. But eventually we understand. This man would not have gone back in any other life, but he would have taken back the same life just to meet Jesus. Sometimes in suffering, if we understand by faith, eventually we see Jesus. Joseph, son of Jacob. If someone would have taken him out of the pit, he would not have been the prime minister of Egypt. If someone would not have defended him before Potiphar, he would not have become the prime minister of Egypt. If, while he's in prison, the cupbearer of Pharaoh, when he went out, would have remembered right away. The Bible says that the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. If he would have remembered right away, he would not have become the prime minister of Egypt. But in God's own plan, all things worked to the good for Joseph. Two last examples, Moses and David. Moses thought he could deliver the people with his own strength. And God said to him, no. 40 years old, 40 years back then, he was a young man, he was very strong. He was ready to deliver the people of Israel. God says, no. And he gets out of Egypt to live in the wilderness. And when he is 80 years old, double the age, God tells him, now you can come. Now, I want you to imagine, this was a prince. This man was a prince. He grew up in a palace. He had power. He learned management. Why all this, Lord? Go meet Moses in the wilderness when he is running after sheep. What's wrong, Moses? He said, I don't understand God. Why did he make me grow up in Pharaoh's palace? Why did he teach me all these? Why did he give me all this education? To go after sheep, to run after sheep in the wilderness for 40 years? God says to him, Moses, if you don't learn to run after these sheep, you won't be able to run after the people of Israel in Mount Sinai. Everything has a purpose. Moses could only understand through faith. Finally, David. David was anointed king. And yet, he was not king. Saul was still alive. Why? Why did you bring Samuel to me and anoint me with oil and call me a king, and then you make me run for my life? Why? Doesn't make sense. By faith. By faith, everything in your life, David, will work out for good. If you only could trust me. You know how Hebrews 11 is what we call the hall of faith, all the people of faith. You know how the Hebrew 11 ends? You know the verse at the end says what? The verse before the last says, and all these died without receiving the promise. I want to put this before you tonight. Faith means, I don't understand what's happening. I cannot make sense of what's happening. I don't see a solution to what's happening, but I believe things will be good. Tough, huh? Hard. But that's faith. Faith is to surrender and trust God. St. Paul, he was dying to go to Rome. And as he finally got on the boat to go to Rome, God sends the boat a storm. St. Paul could have said, why, God? I want to get to Rome. You commanded us to go to the end of the world, and Rome pretty much is the end of the world. Why do you delay me? Isn't it good to preach your word in Rome? It's good. But your plans, St. Paul, are different than mine, says the Lord. Get delayed for 2 weeks. What's so good about getting delayed for 2 weeks? Well, he ends up in an island called Malta. And in Malta, something happens. The people of the ship, all of them believe. The people of the island, all of them believe. And by the time before he gets back on the ship to go back to Rome, about a few thousand people became Christians. Is it good or bad? It's good. St. Paul believed through the eyes of faith. He said, Lord, I don't understand why this storm, but I know that all things will work to the good. Let me close by an imaginary story of Brenda. Brenda was a young girl who went climbing. And she went with her friends, but Brenda had a problem. She could not see very well, and for this she had some very important contact lens put in her eyes. And as she was rock climbing, if I were Brenda, probably I would not go rock climbing, but she did, for the sake of the story. As she was climbing this very high mountain, her contact lens fell. Could not see. She could pretty much put her foot anywhere, and she would fall. Her friend beside her looked, and just at the edge of the mountain, he could see something reflecting the light. He looks closer, and he sees this ant carrying the contact lens on top of, let's call it, on top of her. Okay, female ant. So he looks, and this ant, right at the edge, with one foot in, one foot out, and holding this lens on top. Let's go down to the level of the ant and listen to her. The ant was saying, God, what am I carrying? For sure I'm not eating this. For sure I'm not going to bring this back to my aunt's friends. For sure this doesn't make sense. But if you so called for me to carry this thing, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't see how useful it is. I cannot rationalize it. But in faith, I will carry it. Not knowing that she was doing someone else a favor. I put before you and me tonight, as Christians, if we don't have faith, we're in deep trouble. Because what we have is faith. What we've been called to have is faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. So if you want to look into your life, ask yourself this question today. How is my faith? With faith we understand. Not that faith is against rationale or the mind, for these are also the creation of God. But faith is an upgrade. Faith goes beyond our mind. Through faith we understand. I pray for you and I pray for me that God may give us this faith. While we cannot make sense of things, we say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I understand you. I love you. I trust you. Let it be your will. And if I don't understand now, like you said to St. Peter, I will understand later. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.